Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Tuesday. Well, our special show here on a Tuesday, focusing on the Wisconsin Air National Guard. Glad to have you along with us. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, whether you are taking us with you on your lunchtime lunch? I guess that's when you have lunch, right? During lunchtime.
Typically.
Or maybe you're taking a walk. Maybe you're being healthy, not just sitting down. And or maybe you're driving. Wherever you are taking us today, we appreciate you being along with us. Mr. Zommers, I am excited for those watching on the stream, Facebook, Twitter, on YouTube, a little festive, a little decorations, a little holiday Christmas lights. It's, I can't believe Christmas is upon us already.
Yeah, it's, everyone always says it, but it always goes by so fast.
I know. Well, hopefully you're having a wonderful holiday season already as you listen to us here today. Welcoming in on in just a few minutes here, we have the Brigadier General from the Wisconsin Air National Guard, the commanding officer of the Air Guard, General David May, will be joining us here in studio. He has brought some very special guests. We have Captain Sarah Eagle, an F-35 pilot. Number one, I think it's just fantastic that it's a woman. And number two, a name of Sarah Eagle. I mean, the last name of Eagle, and you're a pilot. I mean, how cool is that?
That's
right?
Just perfect.
It's perfect. And then we also have along with us today Airman First Class Chris Jones, who is newer to the Guard, kind of did a professional career and heard about it and thought, you know what, I want to try this out. And so he's been in around a year or so. We're going to ask him, as an Airman First Class, what's it been like kind of after a year? Did it meet? Did it exceed? Did it fall short of your expectations? What was it like to kind of do this? And now that you're in it, what's it like? So we have Brigadier General David May, Sarah Eagle, a captain, an F-35 pilot, and Airman First Class Chris Jones, an explosive ordnance disposal expert. I mean, those folks, I mean, holy cow. You literally have to have nerves of steel, you know, when you're working with explosives.
Kind of an important job. Well, I mean, they all are.
But. Right? So I'm really looking forward to this show. And here's the cool thing. I mean, it's all cool. But in hour number two, General May, in an exclusive, he does not do this often. In fact, I don't know that he ever has. But he will be taking your questions directly, you the listeners. So get your dialing fingers ready. Don't call in yet. But in hour number two, we will be taking your calls for General David May. And I know there's folks that, you know, to be upfront, we've never shied away from it on this program or when the general's been on before. I personally think the F-35s are fantastic. I appreciate them. I know there are folks, particularly in Dane County and Madison, who might feel differently. Well, here's your chance to call in. You know, of course, be respectful and also understand that the general, you know, he's not going to be able to speak as freely as I do on this show. He's still an active military officer, and he is bound by security things and, you know, other, they're also not allowed to get into the political aspects of this. So there are, he can answer within the parameters that he's allowed by the military. But I think it's fantastic that he's being so forthright. I think it's fantastic that the Wisconsin Air National Guard is allowing him to do this and taking calls in hour number two. The number, don't dial yet, but the number, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We will take your calls in hour number two. Now, folks, many people that listen to this program know I grew up in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center. And that's not too far away via air, via a jet, from either Truax Field here in Madison or Volk Field and Fort McCoy in Monroe County and Juneau County. And so when they did these training missions, not just the F-16s at the time, but the other air equipment as well, oftentimes they would fly over Richland Center or our family farm just outside of Richland Center, which was up on top of one of the Driftless Hills. I thought it was super cool to see these aircraft kind of doing their maneuvers and whatnot. And it's vitally important to the national security as well. But again, anybody wants to call in hour two, General David May taking your questions. I want to get to a couple of things here before we bring them on. First of all, and I want to give a shout out to the folks where I get what's left of my hair cut. If you watch on the stream, you know that Todd has more of a beard than he does hair on top of his head. That's just the way it goes. Anyway, I go to a place called Rejuvenation Spa. It's not as bougie as it sounds. It's a very nice place. But anyway, my normal hairstylist, my hair care professional, Lizzie, unfortunately fell ill. She has a little kid, and I think maybe the kid brought something home and wasn't feeling well. So they called me up and they said, "Can Gretchen, are you okay with Gretchen?" It turns out that Gretchen is one of the owners of this place. And let me tell you, I had a lovely time with Gretchen last night as she cut my hair and talking. And we got discussing kind of stereotypes of hair care people and what they actually do. And one of the things that I guess I kind of sort of knew, but I didn't really until we got talking, was that a trained hair care professional, while they're shampooing you or dyeing your hair, I don't dye my hair. I'm not like Earl Ingram. I don't dye my hair.
Well, he doesn't normally do that either.
Right. He doesn't normally either. He lost a bet to Gilbert Brown, so he dyed his hair. And let me tell you, at the holiday party, as we said, he looked fantastic. His wife is a hair care professional, and she did the dye job. And I think Earl may continue it because it was a hit of the party, let me tell you. But anyway, these trained hair care professionals, one of the things they are trained to do is to look at your scalp, and not just the scalp, but Gretchen last night was telling me they look like at the back of your ears. Because, you know, when you're brushing your teeth, you look at yourself in the mirror, you can't see the back of your ear, right? And so what they've done, it's been documented that they will alert people. I mean, they're not doctors, obviously, but they'll say, you know what, you might want to have that looked at. That looks concerning. And there have actually been times when people in the hair care industry have alerted a client, they went to their physician, and it turned out they had some form of skin cancer or whatever, and it was diagnosed early enough where it was taken care of. But I think that's a cool aspect that we don't think about real often. So here's the thing, Mr. Zommers. We haven't tightened it up, but here's the idea. We want to have Gretchen and also Lizzie on, and we're going to do a show from Rejuvenation Spa.
That sounds really cool. And as you just demonstrated, there's a lot you don't expect to learn.
There's a lot you don't expect to learn. And the cool thing is, I did this back when we had our little our TV show back at Platteville. Went to 13 communities across Southwest Wisconsin. My barber at the time, the great Tom McCarthy, who is now retired. He came down to Platteville and he cut my, we kind of stole it from Letterman, but he cut my hair while I interviewed people. So we'll see, maybe we'll do that. Maybe Lizzie will cut my hair and we'll be interviewing people while I get what, I don't have much hair left, so it'll be a short haircut.
To be fair though, I thought you got a haircut when I came in, but I didn't say anything because you're also wearing a suit. For those of you watching the stream, you
or
can
jacket.
See.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, you know what? Maybe it's just the whole look making me think that. So, but well, it's a nice haircut.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It takes a good hair care professional. A lot of people during around the holidays right now, right? They want to look good because a lot of people, families only get together once a year or maybe twice, and so you want to look good for those family pictures. So I think there's a lot of, you know, and hair salons, barbers, they're all booked up right now this week. If you haven't gotten in, good luck. Because whether it's for Christmas or for New Year's Eve or whatever, people want to look good. I need all the help I can get.
Nobody other than my mom has ever cut my hair.
Really?
Yeah. And she hasn't cut it in probably...
Well, you have...
A while.
You have long hair.
Right. It does need a trim, though. I have some split ends. Maybe I need to go to Rejuvenation Spa.
Split ends. Oh my. Well, maybe you should. Come on along. It'll be fantastic. So anyway, that's what did you do last night? Well, you had an accident last night.
Yeah, I've had an eventful last few days. It is funny.
You're not a well man.
No, the last few days have been interesting. As I mentioned yesterday, on Friday I fell asleep with my arm partially dislocated somehow and didn't realize it, and then woke up, and the next day my arm and shoulder hurt for like 5 hours. Yeah. And then last night, I made a smoothie, shared it between my roommates and I. You know, you just fill up the whole blender. There was a little bit left at the bottom. So instead of cleaning up the blender right away, it was sitting on the counter. One of my roommates walks over and you hear a big shatter. He accidentally knocked it over, sending smoothie and broken glass everywhere in the kitchen.
not good.
I
not
stayed good on the couch. All. I was like, I'm just not going to get in the way. My two roommates cleaned it up. They did a little like steam mop on the vinyl flooring. And I think that the steam mop is what did it. It made it super slippery. I walked over to the kitchen holding my empty smoothie glass. Next thing I know, my foot shoots out from under me and I'm on the ground. Somehow I'm still holding onto the glass and that did not break. But I fell on my hip and I'll just say that showering, stairs, all that stuff, pretty difficult right now. So I'm going to see a doctor later.
I mean, I'm not making fun of it, but I mean, you are a legitimate contender for like the clapper or like those first alert bracelets or necklaces. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Maybe I need one.
I mean, Mr. Zomers is going to use the clapper.
I didn't think I was that clumsy or anything. Maybe I'm just unlucky.
Bad luck. You need to burn some sage or something. Not our owner, but like legitimate sage.
Yeah, the herb. the man.
Right, the herb. Burn the herb. I want to just make quick note before we get into the special show with the Air National Guard. Senator Dale O'Connor passed away here shortly or not long ago. And if you're listening to us today, Friday, we're going to replay the show on the Tuesday after Christmas. But President Biden is giving remarks at Senator Dale O'Connor's funeral. And again, no matter what you may think of her overall, some of her policies, she was a pioneer, the first woman to be on the United States Supreme Court, appointed by Ronald Reagan. She helped save Roe v. Wade. She was a deciding vote in that. Also helped save affirmative action, was the deciding vote on that, and made a legacy and a mark. So we remember Senator Dale O'Connor, and as she has her funeral and is laid to rest today. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to have General David May, Brigadier General David May, the commanding officer of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, and get an update from him. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, now 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for being along with us on this very special show. A salute to the Wisconsin Air National Guard during this holiday season. Kind of a cool time to take a moment and remember, I think, during this time of year especially, that the men and women who put on the uniform and serve so wonderfully around the world. Not everyone gets to spend the holidays like many of us listening do with our families. Many folks are stationed around the world, around the state, and don't have that opportunity. And so I think it's a great time just to pause, reflect, and remember them and their families as well. Joining us on this segment, once again, we welcome him back to the program, General Brigadier General David May. General May, thanks so much for being back with us, and happy holidays to you.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. It's great to be back. Thank you for the invitation. I think this is my fourth time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you issue punch cards or not, but
I think we need like the General May wing of Civic Media or something. Okay. Maybe an office. I don't know.
I'd be okay with just friend of the show. That'd be
perfect. Well, you are a friend of the show. Okay. We're fine with that.
Okay, excellent.
But I really appreciate you coming back on. And I said this in the first segment. You know, next hour we're going to take live questions from callers. And I explained to folks, look, I mean, you're an active military person and there are certain parameters. You're not allowed to get into political things. There are certain things for security reasons. Right. You know, you can't, you know, hey, General, where are the planes going? I mean, we can't answer that kind of stuff. But if people have general questions, no pun intended, or I know the F-35 program, there are a lot of folks like me who think it's great. I get it. There are people that might disagree with that. So we invite people to call in, be respectful, but we'll take callers. I think taking calls, but also coming before the public and talking about the Guard, I just think that's a great asset for the public.
Yeah. Well, it's a conversation that I'd like to have, like you and I have talked in the past. If there are things that that we disagree about, we should be able to talk about it fairly and openly, and to the full extent that I can. As you mentioned, I have some restrictions,
right.
But to not talk about it would be a mistake.
Agreed. So, you know, this time of year, a lot of folks, you know, whether they're doing stuff financially or whether they're kind of gearing up for 2024, we have certain things, certain institutions have year-end things. Is there something in your position as the commanding officer of the Wisconsin Air National Guard or the Guard as a whole, things that you go through normally end of year or this time of year that are annual traditions or just maintenance things that you all do to be prepared?
Well, certainly one thing we do is we take some time to gather together as a unit or just an office environment, and we take some time to just have some holiday cheer and try to slow the pace down a little bit. And to the fullest extent possible, I really encourage people to try to take a break in their personal lives between Christmas and New Year's, because after that, it's back to off to the races. And it's really important that we take some time to show appreciation for each other. We have so many fantastic people in our organization, and we're so busy just slowing down to say, hey, we appreciate you. We hope that you have a good, restful holiday season. And it's also an important time to check in with people, because holidays are mostly joyful, but not always. So we kind of circle the wagons and make sure that everybody in our formations is doing okay.
I really appreciate that, because as we mentioned, there are people stationed, I'm sure, here in Wisconsin from other places, or there are people around the world. And you know that could be difficult for anyone, but I would think especially if you're in military service.
Absolutely. And we have people, we have positions within our organization that have to remain staffed 24/7. And there'll be people working on shifts all through next week in a variety of jobs. And and that's just the reality. I think most of us have worked or deployed or been doing something over a major holiday or several. Mm-hmm. And we accept that. But it also, it kind of creates a type of a camaraderie.
You know,
like this year I'll suck it up this year, and maybe somebody else could do it next year, and then I'll do it again the next year. But we're all in this together is kind of the idea.
I think that's great. So I had the honor of being up at Volk Field earlier this summer during the Northern Lightning event. I thought it was fantastic. And by the way, if you didn't join us for that event, I mean, the general came in, it was a fine entrance today. But let me tell you, while we were up at Volk Field, if anybody knows how to make an entrance, it's you, General. He comes in a Black Hawk helicopter. He's got a line of people waiting to meet him. It was right out of a movie. That
also,
event to me, yes.
After just having received the president, too.
Right, yeah, also after just having been the president of the United States. So not bad.
It was a busy day. It was a busy day. And your show was the highlight, for sure.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, but I mean, you really, in all seriousness, I mean, you had to be with the president, obviously. He was here. And ironically, he's going to be back in the state tomorrow.
So absolutely.
Almost hit it again.
Almost.
But you took the helicopter in order to do the show at Volk Field, and we really appreciated that. How did the mission go, Northern Lightning? Explain to folks again what the purpose of that, and from your perspective as the commanding officer, what was your takeaway?
Sure. Well, first of all, it was a huge success, and everyone involved did a fantastic job. Northern Lightning is a 2-week exercise, 9 days of flying. It's primarily focused on fighter aircraft training, and of course, everything that goes along with that, all the maintenance and all the logistics support that goes along with it. And we had aircraft involved from all over the country. About $3 billion worth of aircraft and equipment were involved, nearly 1,500 people.
Uh-huh.
And they come in, and for those 9 days of flying, twice a day we go out and replicate what we call the high-end fight. So a fight that we might see with a peer-level competitor like China, to make sure that we're as ready as possible. And the beauty of Volk Field and the Volk Field Air Complex is that we can train with the flexibility to go back and correct things that didn't go well the day before and work on it till we get it right. And when the units leave, they're better off for it at the individual level, at the unit level. And it's not just the pilots, though. Like I told you, we call it summer camp for fighter pilots. There is a lot of that, but all of the other positions, you know, the intelligence of folks, the computer folks, logistics, care and feeding, all of that gets exercised so that we're as ready as possible. So getting ready for, you know, a peer level fight is what it's all about.
Well, I just appreciate having the opportunity to allow me on the base and to see things that a lot of civilians don't. And one of my biggest takeaways was just how professional everybody I encountered was, and the spirit and the camaraderie. I mean, you didn't see people, you know, kind of moping around. Everybody was into it. Everybody was having, they knew what their mission was. They were working hard. And I think there was just a vibe, if I could use the word. You felt better for being there.
People want to do what they signed up to do. So if you signed up to be a fighter pilot, you want to go fly and get better every day, if it, whatever your job is. So when you give people that opportunity to come in as realistic environment as possible, to train hard for 2 weeks, they get after it. And that's exactly what you saw.
We have a couple of people coming up here on the next segment. We're going to talk to General. We're speaking with Brigadier General David May, the commanding officer of the Wisconsin Air National Guard. We have Captain Eagle, fantastic name, by the way, for a pilot, right? Captain Eagle, who is an F-35 pilot, and also Airman First Class Jones joins us. I appreciate one person, obviously, gone through a lot of training, been in the program as a pilot. The other person, newer. Anything you want to say about these two individuals before we bring them on and kind of what their role is?
So I asked for these two folks in particular because they're a lot younger than me, and they're on the front end of their career, and I might be closer to the back end. And I wanted you to be able to talk to some folks that are at that phase in their career, and have them tell their story a little bit about how they got to where they are, because they're not right at the beginning. They're ready to hit the afterburner to do great things. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation.
We're looking forward to talking with them. General May is going to stick around and take your phone calls a little bit later. And then what does the general listen to later on in the program as well? We have lots more ahead in our special salute to Wisconsin Air National Guard show. This is the Tallball Show. Stay with us now and on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along with us, whether you're listening across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, or perhaps you're joining us on the stream on Facebook, that is, Twitter, or YouTube. We welcome you in. The studio is festive a little bit with some lights. We got the flag, but most of all, we have two fine members of the Wisconsin Air National Guard joining us at this time, our Captain Sarah Eagle and also Airman First Class Chris Jones. Welcome to you both. Thanks so much for taking the time to come in.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, it's an honor and a pleasure. You know, General May was so kind in his office to reach out and have both of you here. And the idea when we were talking about doing this show is, you know, first of all, the F-35s they get a lot of coverage. And quite frankly, I just think it's a great interview always to talk to a pilot, you know, Top Gun Maverick. I'll tell you something that I embarrassed myself. So the first time General May was on the show, you know, idiot Todd, I didn't read the entire biography. And I thought, well, I mean, if you're the general of an Air National Guard, certainly you're a pilot. And so I asked him a flying question. He goes, I'm not a pilot. I've never flown. So I felt like a complete idiot. So it's good to have, you know, it's always great to have a real pilot. And the other aspect is that, you know, I never served. One of the great regrets of my life is I never wore the uniform, but I spent about 5 years doing military affairs for our former congressman, and spent a lot of time, you know, with the Air Guard, but also at places like West Point and Annapolis. I just have a tremendous respect for people who serve. My grandfather was a World War II veteran, Air Force, actually. And, you know, people who don't take time to understand what our military folks do. I think there's, you know, kind of what the press puts out there, and then there's the real jobs. And so I appreciate you coming on and telling your stories. Captain Eagle, let's start with you. Where did you grow up, and kind of give us a little background, and how did you find your way into the Wisconsin Air National Guard?
Yeah, so I'll try not to talk too long about this, but I grew up in North Carolina, so I'm not a Wisconsin a Wisconsin local, though I am calling Madison home now because we've fallen in love with the area. Where I grew up in North Carolina, you have the mountains, you have the sea, and so it's a great place to become outdoorsy, and I feel like Madison fits that pretty great. So I grew up there, went to college up in Chapel Hill, so go Tar Heels, and then after that I commissioned into the Air Force as an active duty intel officer. From there, I mostly worked with special ops in Florida and in Germany, so we did a lot with ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and then that's kind of what got me interested in the flying portion of things. So I grew up flying as well as a private pilot, and at the end of that commitment, I was looking to do a bit more to include flying, kind of operating versus doing the intel piece of it, and luckily I was hired here at Madison to fly the F-35.
I'm always curious about people who are pilots. Did you get into it just like in high school or college as a hobby almost, or where did this love for flying come from?
Yeah, good question. I was one of the nerds in high school who really enjoyed physics, and I did a little mini term about aviation, just learning about the physics of the aircraft and what allows it to fly. And there I had an instructor that took us up in his little general aviation plane, and from there I just fell in love. I think as a kid too, I would watch at the local airport planes take off, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. And we just happened to know someone who wanted to instruct, and that's how I got into it. So about the high school age there.
Wow, that's fantastic. And Airman First Class, Chris Jones, where did you grow up and what led you to get into the National Guard?
Yeah, so I grew up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and I had a great childhood, love Wisconsin all the way. And I went to school at UW La Crosse and earned both my undergrad and graduate degree there. Kind of lived all over the place. I lived in Wyoming for a short while, and I lived in New England for a little bit, in Maine. And my wife, she had an opportunity in Wisconsin and said, hey, do you want to move back to Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that'd be fantastic. So moved back to Wisconsin about 10 years ago or so, and an opportunity came up. I saw a couple pieces to work with the Air National Guard here in Wisconsin, and I thought, oh, that'd be fantastic. It's a state I love, I came back to, and I thought, what better than to have an opportunity to do that? So it's been fantastic getting a chance to kind of start my journey with the Air National Guard.
So I love the slight difference in both your career trajectories. Captain Eagle, it sounds like you have always kind of had this passion to be in at least aviation. Did you also have a passion to do it on the military side?
Yeah, I definitely did. I think the biggest draw at that age was that I loved going fast. You can only go so fast in general aviation.
Right?
So here, you're a single seat fighter pilot. Like this is you're the mayor of Cockpit City is what we right. say. You go as fast as you want. And that was a big draw to me at a young age.
And Airman First Class Jones, you had this, you went to college, went to grad school. It sounds like you were doing things on the civilian side. What was it that pulled you into the military side, and in particular, the Wisconsin Air National Guard?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. for me, it's something that I've always wanted to serve and try to find a niche opportunity to get into. That was always the biggest draw for me, as I wanted to be able to make sure I could serve and help people. And a couple different folks had some great discussions with some family members and friends about it, and they encouraged me. They said, well, you should look into the Guard service and all of that. Initially, I was looking at active duty as an officer, but this better fit my family and all of that. And it was a great opportunity. I had fantastic flexibility. And so that's really what helped out. And I've always had that, similar to you, I've always had that want, that draw to serve. And the opportunity arose, and I seized it right away.
Now, see, I can relate to wanting to be a pilot. Again, I didn't have the talent or the brains for it, but I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, I love to fly. I have a couple of buddies that are one buddy in particular that, not in the military, but he has a Cessna. It's fun to go up, right? I like to fly. But Chris, you went into explosive ordnance disposal.
That's right.
And God love you for doing it. But I mean, I'm not sitting around going, geez, I wish I could take apart a bomb. I mean, that just isn't something that you think about. What do you have a physics background, or what was your education, and what made you choose this part of the Wisconsin Air National Guard to focus on?
Absolutely. I can. The short answer is because it's difficulty. I always wanted to challenge myself, and the Air National Guard. The U.S. Air Force does a fantastic job of. Mm-hmm. helping folks develop, and not only with leadership, but also through education. And previous to this, I was exercise and sports science, kinesiology, and physical education was my master's degree. And all of those are great, but I wanted to continue to push myself and challenge myself. And explosive ordnance disposal is one of the more difficult AFSCs, at least when it comes to the enlisted side and all of that. So I thought, hey, what a great chance to go ahead and give it a shot and test myself a little bit there. So that was a big piece. And the other portion of it for me was with explosive ordnance disposal, the number one thing is ensuring safety. And it was something I always was drawn to, the piece of helping others and keeping others safe. And so it was something that for me, I immediately was drawn to that idea of protecting others and property. So.
Captain Eagle, I hear it in both your stories. I hear it in both your voices. And again, I think that too often the misnomer out there about all military branches is, you know, it's about, you know, quote unquote war. You know, we're going to war. But, you know, what I see is keeping peace, you know, nationally and the homeland, but also this both in both your stories, a commitment to serving others. And how can we help out? It's not about going out to war. It's about helping others. What Captain Eagle, in your role as a pilot, and, you know, I mean, General May and I talked about this last a couple times ago, and I understand you can't get into all the specifics of it for various, you know, security reasons, but how cool is it that when there is a threat to the homeland over the Great Lakes, mm-hmm. you know, the planes that were scrambled came out of Wisconsin. I just think that's fantastic.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's amazing. It made me very excited to come back after, you know, 3.5 years of training to come back to this specific unit in the state. I think we're strategically postured in the northern border to kind of defend the homeland in that type of way. To see that happen in action was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, and I've talked to a couple other pilots. I always like this perspective. You know, goofballs like me. First of all, what did you think of Top Gun Maverick?
I thought it was good. Yeah, I have to be careful because I'll be made fun of this later. It's a Navy movie, so you're not supposed to like it too much.
All right, fair enough.
But it was well done. It was good.
Fair enough. I get it. you know, I'm old enough to remember the original when it came out, and I was very nervous about it. And then I thought it was one of the best movies of the year last year. I thought it was fantastic. But when you're an actual pilot. In, you know, a set aside the fact it was a Navy movie and not an Air Force movie, but for those folks flying those planes as a pilot yourself, an actual pilot, did you come away thinking, yeah, they got it pretty close to right, or no, that was just all a bunch of fiction?
I think with anything that you do, when you know the ins and outs so well, it's easy to pick apart all of the inaccuracies, but I think the moral and the character of that movie is very honest to the fighter pilot community. And I think that we all appreciated kind of the camaraderie that they showed. I think that's very accurate. And that's how I would describe our unit here. I think we have a lot of love between us and a lot of competitiveness, and it makes a good combination.
So I know that, are both of you full-time, or are you part-time, or what are your roles?
I am currently full-time.
And I'm currently in the middle of training right now, but I'll be duty status, just part-time.
All right. Because yep. I think that's all you'll hear, you know, National Guard, and, you know, the series, oh, weekend warrior, you know. But there are people, there are a lot of elements to this organization who are full-time and who are there all the time, training, being prepared, readiness, that sort of thing. Captain Eagle, when it comes to being a pilot, again, I grew up in southwest Wisconsin, out in the Driftless area, Richland County, and our family farm. I thought it was fantastic when these planes or whatever would be flying over doing these maneuvers. Talk as a pilot, you know, there are specific reasons that you train in areas of the state. And again, not to get into stuff you can't talk about, security issues, but overall, literally 30,000 foot above level, there are reasons that you all do that to be ready when called upon.
Absolutely, yes. The reasons that we do these trainings are so that they build this muscle memory so that when the time comes, we're able to not even think and just do. Any extra seconds that you take to think are times that take away from your ability to process the battle space. That's not something you want to lose. So that is why we train so hard and we work so hard and we pick apart everything that we do. Seconds of time we can talk about for 20 minutes just so that we can become that proficient and that much faster than the enemy.
First and foremost, you're an airman, you're a pilot, but as someone who has two nieces, one now in her 20s, one still in high school, I think it's just super cool, and I'll just say it, kick-ass that you're a woman and you're an F-35 pilot, because you are breaking ground, you are giving young women someone to look at in a vocation and a job where we see a lot of men, and to look at that and say, wow, she accomplished that. She's smart, she's talented, and she's breaking ground. Do you ever think about that? And how does that make you feel?
That's awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And definitely, I was a little girl that was looking up to General Levitt. She's the first female fighter pilot. She inspired me. So it's always nice to hear that that inspires the next generation. Women still only make up 2% of fighter pilots. That statistic hasn't changed, but it is getting better as time goes on. So I appreciate that. It's cool to be a trailblazer, but I'm only here because of the women who did that before me.
Well, we appreciate it, and I just think it's super cool. Chris Jones, Airman First Class Jones, when you are now, you've been in it, what, about a year or so?
Yep.
Going through training?
Yes, sir.
As someone who, you know, heard about this and made this commitment, felt this calling, I don't think that's an overstretch. How does it compare now that you've been in it a year to maybe what you thought it would be? Is it basically the same? Is it better, or are the things that are different? What's your take?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I would definitely say that it's exceeded my expectations for sure. The amount of availability when it comes to personal development and leadership development was something I was told about, but having a chance to experience it firsthand has been absolutely tremendous. The individuals that are instructing me, that are helping me out, are the utmost professionals, and being around that just makes me want to be a better airman. And to help out and to continue to serve. So it's definitely exceeded my expectations in that regard.
And are you both stationed here then, or predominantly here in Madison, then you're stationed
yes.
at Truax,
yes.
Captain, and you will be as well?
Yes.
So that's cool. I mean, it's, again, I've been all over the state, and it's just been a pleasure. And again, while I was up at Volk Field this summer, you all, the personnel, the Wisconsin Air National Guard, was just what impressed me most. I mean, I'll be on the planes, the helicopters are cool too. But I mean, at the end of the day, if the people that fly them is what's super cool. We'll come back, talk more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We are speaking with Captain Eagle and Airman First Class Jones. This is a special Wisconsin Air National Guard salute show right here on the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Civic Media Radio Network, now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome back to our special Wisconsin Air Guard salute show during this holiday season. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday. Our guests for this segment continue to be Captain Eagle, Sarah Eagle, that is. She is an F-35 pilot here stationed in Madison at Truax Field, and Airman First Class Chris Jones. He is an explosive ordnance disposal expert, just finishing up his training in his first year. So glad to have you back with us. I spoke at the top of this show with General May, and I've seen this firsthand, but I want your takes on it. It's not just you, but it's your family, your friends, who also kind of come along for the ride, so to speak. Talk to folks that might not know, when you're deployed, when you're on training, what does that mean for your individual families? I'll start with you, Airman First Class Jones.
So speaking to the going off, you know, deploying, things like that, oftentimes you have a pretty reasonable timeline to get mm-hmm. things organized, planned out with family, friends, and that sort of thing. and then obviously you're off and running, you get an adequate amount of time to get things spun up, get things taken care of, things are organized, and then off you go. And there's adequate supports when you get back, which is another fantastic piece to it. Especially when speaking to deployment, at least it wouldn't necessarily be something where you immediately, all of a sudden on a Thursday, hey, you need to leave or anything like that. Yeah. So it is something that you get adequate amount of time to go ahead and prepare, get yourself ready to go, and make sure you have all your things packed. And you also maintain good communications as well with the base when you do arrive.
Captain Eagle, have you been deployed on active duty so far in your career?
No, unfortunately, I have not.
But you've been away from the family, I assume, or friends, that sort of thing.
Yes, yep.
Because, again, I think that too often we as civilians don't take time to think about, you know, it's not just the folks who have the uniform on, it's the friends and family around them. Have your family or friends ever just said, holy cow, Sarah, we're nervous to have you up in that vehicle, you know, in that aircraft?
Yeah. Definitely have heard a lot of that. And like you said, it takes a village, right, to support one of us or, you know, several of us going downrange, lots of training and lots of spin up. But the family back home is supporting and making sure everything's taken care of. Kids, of course. But if you're like me and you're a dog mom, like you have to have someone taking care of them as well. So, yeah.
Now, this is something General May brought up. I did not. So you all three have dogs. So what kind of dog do you have, Captain Eagle?
I have a golden retriever and a Swiss shepherd.
Oh, two?
Yes.
Right. Fantastic.
Very
and, and Airman First Class Jones.
Yeah, I have a Mountain Cur, and so it's kind of a weird breed, but she's a fantastic dog.
General, you can't see him; he's off camera. General, what do you have?
Rescue mutts.
A rescue mutts. All right. Oh, see. So who has the best dog?
Probably the general.
Well, see, these are smart people, right here. And whatever he has, it's the general's dogs who are the best. You'll be promoted, I'm sure. this is why I know this is a stupid thing to say, but you're real people. You know, and I think that too often that civilians look, oh, those are military people. And I mean, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. You have dogs, you have families, you have hobbies that you do. Mm-hmm. It is a service. It is a fellow American serving other Americans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all, you know, Madison. We love Madison. We love Wisconsin. Like, we live in this community. We take pride in this area and what we do and protecting and serving the people that are here and in the U.S., of course. So, yeah, absolutely.
About 4 minutes left in this segment. It always goes too fast. We're happy to have you both here. For someone who might be thinking about going into the Wisconsin Air National Guard in whatever vocation, what's something that you would tell them? What would you want other people to know about the job that you do? We'll start with you, Chris.
Yeah, so if someone's interested in it or anything like that, definitely don't be afraid to reach out to a recruiter and start with those conversations. Make sure it's the right choice for you. Recruiters are there not to sell you or to pitch you on anything, but they're there to make sure that it's the right fit for you and to make sure that also that your job, when you are doing it, fits with your personality type as well as your skills and skill sets. And keep in mind, too, that if you're not sure what you could bring to the picture, the beauty of it is that you're going to go through some of the, I'll make the argument, the best training in the world. And they're going to be ready to go providing that education and additional support when you do get back and ready to go. So it's a fantastic way to go ahead and serve your community, serve those that you care about.
Same, Sarah, same question to you. What would you want people to know who are thinking about going in the Wisconsin Air National Guard? Or just aside, what is something that you really wish people would understand about the organization and the job you do?
Definitely. I would say it's not one size fits all. There's many different paths in. Obviously, you know, Airman Jones is crushing it in the way that he came in. I came in a little bit different way. So you reach out to your community, to the recruiters that are there. They'll put you on the right path to get to where you want to be.
About a couple minutes left here. Captain Eagle, you hit on it. We were out at Truax before. The F-35 pilots, those are kind of the poster people, right? But it's this ground crew. It's all the people around you who make the aircraft operable, who help you do your job. It's not just one person. It's this team.
Absolutely. It definitely is. And if it wasn't for the maintainers, the AFE people who are taking care of our gear, I mean, the intel support, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So it's all thanks to those guys who get us up in the air.
This is probably an easy question for you, but what's the coolest part about your job?
Oh, man. I've already talked about going fast. So I'll say going, just being alone in the cockpit, I think, having no one else to tell you what to do. I mean, it's your, again, you're the mayor of Cockpit City. Like, this is your jet. You're flying it the way that you want to. I love that.
You ever buzz the tower with the general up there?
Not yet, but don't give it away.
Airman First Class Jones, what's the coolest part about your job so far?
Oh, you know, there's so many fantastic pieces. I would say the one that's most rewarding is, especially with explosive ordnance disposal, it's kind of like a living, breathing Rubik's Cube, you know, it's right. Constantly solving puzzles. And when we render something safe and we can open up an area again and all of that effort has been poured on, that's the coolest thing. I mean, this was something that could have been, you know, dangerous, and we rendered that safe, which is, it's a process. It takes a lot, you know, of energy to do that. Mm-hmm. But just to see that object that was at one point a little bit scary, all of a sudden, hey, we're good. We did this. So it's literally just solving the puzzle.
I can't imagine the rush it is when you're doing what you're doing and solving the puzzle, whether it's do what you do, Captain Eagle, being up there in the air. The rush and the pride you must feel is just incredible.
Yes, it definitely is.
We appreciate you being here. You are America's heroes. We appreciate you both so very much, Captain Sarah Eagle and also Airman First Class Chris Jones. Thank you for all you do. Happy holidays to you and yours. We salute you. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Stay tuned next. The big guy, Brigadier General David May, is going to be back with us in hour two, taking your calls. Call now, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Back after this.